Our house needs painting, but what's the point? We really can't get excited about it. We're living in the middle of the greatest threat to human life since, well, since ever. As far as I'm concerned, Bill Gates is a greater threat than Adolf Hitler. Most people are sleepwalking, and in 5 years' time, they'll probably still not understand why their lives have changed so dramatically and so much for the worse. The least intelligent and least informed will simply blame the COVID fraud or whatever other fake crisis the globalists, the climate change freaks, and the Agenda 21 supporters think up. The collaborators will probably never know that the pandemic was predicted, and in some detail, by many of the main players. By then, the one world government will be controlling every aspect of our lives, including our access to our own money and our access to food. The proponents of the global government condemn all opposition as being worried by threats to their social status, as being racist, as being authoritarian. The monstering, the demonising is done relentlessly, and the collaborators are constantly recruited as foot soldiers in the war. Remember, never forget, policewoman Dick's cruel exhortation for collaborators to shame those who, with hidden disabilities and health problems, as well as those with free spirits and free minds. Their aim is plainly visible. It is to dehumanize humans, to allow robots to take over the world, to deprive us all of our hearts and souls and our freedom, our democracy. The aim of the fourth industrial revolution is to control who we are, as well as what we do and what we think. This is the Great Reset. All babies will be programmed. Robots will take over virtually all jobs. The world population will be reduced by 95%. Just think about that. The United Nations' stated aim is for the industrialized nations to collapse. No one, said one UN spokesperson, will enter the new age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. They want to scare us, divide us, and take away all our power. They want to destroy small businesses and the middle classes and all ambition and all aspirations. They want to confiscate all private property and cause economic chaos so that they can reset the world. They want to install unelected regional governors, just as the EU planned to do, and to ban all manifestations of nationalism. So, for example, nation flags will be outlawed. In England, the latest figures show that the overall mortality rate in June was lower than average. Fewer people are dying than is usual. But the government is still behaving as though we're living through a plague. The figures actually make curious reading. The number of people dying of heart disease, lung cancer, stroke and bowel cancer are far, far below normal for the month of June. The only rise is, of course, the number of people allegedly dying of COVID-19, a new entrant into the top 10 of diseases that kill. But the odd thing is that while the number of people dying of COVID-19 is 53 per 100,000, the number of people dying from flu, pneumonia and chronic lower respiratory disease were much lower than usual. Indeed, the number dying of flu and pneumonia was 19.1 per 100,000 lower than is usual for June. The number of dying of chronic lower respiratory disease was 16.7 per 100,000 lower than is usual for June. And the number of elderly folk allegedly dying of dementia was 18.5 per 100,000 lower than usual. The dementia figure is relevant here. First, because no one actually dies of dementia, and second, because the vast majority of dementia patients are over 80 years old, and so were the sort of people alleged to have died of COVID-19. Now, the really strange thing is that if you add those three figures, you get 54.3 per 100,000, which is, by one of those odd little coincidences which seem commonplace these days, just almost exactly the same as the number dying of COVID-19. Those COVID-19 deaths were new, but the death rates for those other diseases went down. Those of a suspicious nature might suspect that no one actually died of COVID-19, but that the people who would have usually died of flu, pneumonia, dementia, or chronic respiratory disease were bunged down as COVID-19 deaths just to keep us all scared witless and to provide an excuse to shut down the whole country, closing down much of the health service, shutting schools, closing factories, shops, restaurants, pubs, bowling alleys, cinemas, theatres, and service industries of all kinds. Naturally, however, you and I are not of a suspicious nature. We would like this video to remain alive and well on the YouTube platform, and so we avoid drawing conclusions. And we believe that those figures are merely coincidences, just little oddities, quirks of fate. The figures will be on the transcript of this video on my website, if you're interested. The result of closing the country has been disastrous, of course. So, for example, nearly a third of women with primary breast cancer had their treatment, scans or appointments postponed because of the hysteria. Moreover, a new study showed that patients who'd experienced delays were 20% more likely to be depressed and anxious than women with breast cancer whose treatment went ahead as it should have done. Two things about that occur to me that seem strange. First, I'm surprised that anyone should be surprised that women with cancer who were denied essential treatment were more likely to be depressed. Personally, I can't understand why 100% of the women weren't depressed and anxious. Second, I'm startled by the fact that although the UK Health Service could not provide essential medical services for women with breast cancer, it could, nevertheless, manage to conduct a survey of the women who had been abandoned. I can perhaps imagine the conversation. Hello, is that Mrs. Hancock? It is, good. You have, as you know, recently been diagnosed as having breast cancer. How do you feel about the fact that your treatment has been delayed indefinitely? That's something that not even Nero thought of when he set Rome ablaze. He should have sent out a few slaves to conduct a survey of the citizens as their city burnt to cinders. Meanwhile, the energetic mathematicians at Imperial College in London, the Bill Gates-backed college which shut down the country for the flu, the modelling equivalent of the Three Stooges, have found that the lockdown could lead to an extra 1.4 million deaths from tuberculosis. The Imperial College folk now reckon that the lockdowns have set back the fight against tuberculosis by at least 5 to 8 years. And the British Department for Health and Social Care has concluded that the lockdown, triggered by Imperial College's scaremongering, will have a greater impact on our health and lives than COVID-19. I seem to remember mentioning that back in March. If I had any tears left, I would weep. But there's more to come from Imperial College. I honestly find this difficult to believe, but they are apparently also claiming that if we hadn't gone into lockdown, then 1.6 more million people would have died of COVID. Yes, Ferguson and the rest of the gang at Imperial are claiming we should be grateful to them. They don't seem to have read the reports concluding that their forecasts were about as rubbishy as it's possible to get. We'd have all been much better off if the dog had eaten Ferguson's homework. Some are trying to make up their minds whether it was the hysterical nonsense from Imperial College which led to panic or the panic from Imperial College which led to hysteria. I have no such dilemma. I think Ferguson and Imperial College were chosen by the politicians because the politicians knew they'd cock up the forecast. It is, after all, what they've done regularly for years. I think I've had enough of this lot at Imperial College. They should be given useful work to do. There must be public lavatories somewhere which need cleaning. Well, probably that would be too tricky for them. And a document re-released from the British government's official advisers at SAGE, surely the most unsuitable acronym in history, confirms what I've been saying for months, that their advice to the government was to use the media to increase a sense of personal threat and to increase a sense of responsibility to others. May I remind you that we pay the fat salaries of these utter bastards? Instead of looking after us, calming our fears and making us feel less stressed, they've deliberately been doing everything they could to terrorise us and to ramp up the scare stories. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. Meanwhile, the leaders of the four nations in the United Kingdom have been doing everything possible to create confusion and extra anxiety. I plucked up the courage to take a look at the BBC website the other day and found the official rules on how and when people are allowed to meet one another. These are the official rules from the BBC website. In England, 6 people from multiple households or up to 30 people from 2 households can meet together outdoors. They mustn't get closer than 3 foot 3 inches. In Scotland, up to 15 people from up to 5 households can meet as long as they all keep 6 foot 6 inches apart. In Wales, any number of people from 2 households can meet as long as they're 6 foot 6 inches apart. And in Northern Ireland, up to 30 people can meet outdoors but must keep 3 foot 3 inches apart. The rules are equally confusing for indoor meetings. In England, 2 households can meet together. In Scotland, 8 people from 3 households can meet. In Wales, 2 households can form 1 extended household, whatever that means. It sounds like Welsh wife swapping to me. And in Northern Ireland, 10 people from 4 households can meet. There's no advice on what happens to citizens who live on a border between the two countries. The one conclusion from all this utter bollocks is that there's no science to any of this. Idiot civil servants and politicians have clearly made it all up. I bet they couldn't stop laughing to themselves as they wrote this garbage. Meanwhile, there's increasing evidence that less and less deaths are being marked down to COVID-19 and more people are immune. The testing is a nonsense, as unreliable as Tony Blair, but as the positives turn up with predictable regularity, so governments use the results as an excuse for more and more and tougher laws. And all the time, the media simply support the fakery, the hoax and the fraud. The natural inclination of the media is to question, attack and sneer at those in power. Some newspapers will usually support one point of view and some another point of view. That's democracy. But this time, the mainstream media has been virtually united in support of the coronavirus hoax. The threat to the public has been massively exaggerated, and official policies have been reported without question. Even in wartime, there are always some mainstream journalists who question what's happening. But not much this time. The surveillance methods have all been applauded, stories have been manipulated, and all those protesting about the overkill have been denounced as morons or worse. The media have allowed themselves to be used as part of the psychological operations organised by governments. Major internet platforms such as Google, Facebook, Twitter and YouTube have censored critical remarks, even when those have been justified by the facts. I've lost count of the number of videos I've had removed. Not one of those banned videos contained anything untrue or inaccurate. Doctors have been ordered not to speak out. One doctor I know was struck off the medical register in the UK for questioning the official line. The lies have all been coming from politicians and advisers and have been spread with enthusiasm by media organisations such as the BBC in the UK. In my experience, even Wikipedia has become part of the geopolitical damning of individuals. Back in 2010, the American Rockefeller Foundation described a lockstep scenario in which a pandemic could be used to control a population. The lockstep scenario, written a decade ago, has been acted out in precise detail. Contact tracking has been introduced, despite the fact that over 500 scientists have warned against unprecedented surveillance. There's evidence that some of those producing fake information, and the guilty include some well-known establishment universities and journals, have links to the security services. There's no longer any doubt that health policy is being used to achieve geopolitical goals. We are at war with our own governments, with many of our universities, and with much of our media. In fact, virtually all of it, mainstream media. In the long term, we need to sweep clean the stables and create a new political and administrative system. We need new leaders, new media and new management. Our politicians and public servants have done worse than failures. They have betrayed us. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thank you for all your support and encouragement. It would help enormously if you'd press the thumbs up button and, if possible, leave a small comment. We haven't monetized this channel, and there are no advertisements, no sponsors, nor will there ever be. Clicking the thumbs up button simply helps to keep the video and the channel visible so that as many as possible can find them. Videos will be released on Sundays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. UK time. Please copy and share the videos on Twitter, BitChute, Facebook and other platforms. Let's spread the truth. If you'd like to put on a translation, that would be great. If my videos disappear, then please go to vernoncolman.com, where you can find the transcripts, including transcripts of the banned videos. There are also many other articles too. The website has no ads and no sponsors. If you'd like to see more videos from me, please subscribe to my channel, because the videos aren't always easy to find. If you visit mainstream media, please put on messages asking readers to watch these videos to find the truth. Although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up, and we will win this war. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.